Thanks for coming. I trust you've had a good morning, and I'm looking forward to this session that we have together. My name is Matthew Forster. I am the principal of the academy here, and so I do work with young people on a regular basis. And the burden that the Lord has given to me in this session is a burden that I trust will be a help to each one of us as we consider the topic of walking upright in an upside-down world. You may look at the world around you and think, there's a lot of just funny business going on. It doesn't always make sense. The reality is, when you turn away from God, things get turned upside down really quickly. Look at Romans chapter 1. I do teach biology and physics, and recently was just examining the reality of our Creator, who made things. The invisible is seen through the visible reality of all that He has made. And as we talk through that, Romans 1:20 then leads to a progression where people turn from the God that they know, and their minds become darkened, their hearts become evil, and they turn themselves over unto just all kinds of wickedness. And there's no surprise that the world would go the way of the world. Satan is the father of the world. His plan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the reality is, as young people, and as sponsors, as adults, we don't have to walk in that path. And God has a plan for each one of us that we would indeed walk upright in an upside-down world. Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning and ask the Lord to bless this time that we have. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us in this session to really truly hear from you. I pray that you would take the preparation and just the work that has been put into this and enable me and quicken me as I speak. Lord, would you help each of the hearers to be challenged in their own thinking and to be encouraged in their walk with you. That, Lord, we truly would, as your people, learn to walk upright regardless of where the world is going. Lord, would you use each life to its full potential and to your plan for each life. Lord, would you work and bless now, I pray. I ask these things in your name. Amen. All right. Overcoming bad habits, wrong thinking, and sinful choices, and certainly in that trio there's a lot of overlap, but wrong habits stem from wrong thinking, and sinful choices often put us into a spiral where we begin to just get in this, I can't get out of it. And though I want to go somewhere and I don't want to live here, we find ourselves somewhat stuck. Job chapter 1, and I'm going to reference a lot of scripture. We're not going to turn to all of them, but if you wanted to turn to Job chapter 1 in the book of Job, and just by way of introduction, there's a lot that's not going to be on your handout, so you do have the spots to take notes if you wanted to take notes in your actual booklet, but there are going to be some definitions and other things I'm going to run through pretty quickly, and that's why I gave you the handout, but feel free to do it however you want to do. There's going to be a lot of stuff that's not actually on the handout. Job chapter 1, we find the interesting story of a man who really lives out the reality of the title of this workshop. He's a man who walked uprightly before God. Job chapter 1, verse number 1 states, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil." And I could almost stop having read that verse and say, well, that's what it means to walk in character, or to walk upright, to walk a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And I'm not going to, we're going to flesh that out, but that really summarizes the heart of this workshop. And I trust the heart of each one in here, where we do want to do that. What does it mean when it states that Job was a man who feared God, perfect and upright? Well, the idea, his heart being perfect, he wanted to do right. His heart was not such that he was going to try to get around the rules, try to bend it, try to make it fit himself, but he wanted, his desire was to please God. Upright, man of integrity. He was honest. His dealings, his interaction with people. So before God, he wanted to be to have a life that was pleasing to God. And then on this plane, it was open and transparent. It was right. It was honest. He feared God. That means, as he went about his daily business, he chose actions that brought glory to God, actions that were acceptable before God, and then eschewed evil. And these three first characteristics are positive things that he did. The fourth is a negative that he didn't. To eschew is to shun, is to push away, it's to stay away from. And he realized that if he was going to be a man who pleased the Lord, there were going to be some things that, in addition to saying yes to God, he had to say no to other things. And as we consider our own lives, there are going to be a lot of things that we have to say yes to, but there are also going to be a whole pile of things that you and I have to be willing to say no to on a daily basis. And that's exactly what Job did. He chose to say no to any myriad of things. So much so that Satan one day came to report before God. Now, let me just explain here. We're not going to go into a deep theological dive at this point. We could spend a lot of time talking about what does it mean for Satan to come and present himself before God, and how does that all flesh out. We're not going to go there this morning. But in Job chapter 1, verse number 8, as Satan comes before the Lord, the Lord looks at him and says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Have we not heard that fourfold description already? Absolutely. And here you have God looking at Job's life and saying, "This is my man, Job." Satan, have you thought about him? This is Job. Young people, if Satan and God were to talk about you today, how would that conversation go? Would God be able to say, "Look at so-and-so. Look at Matt Forster. He fears God. He walks uprightly. His heart is perfect. He wants to follow me. He wants to do right. And he shuns evil." I trust that that description is true for each one of us. And I want to give each of us today some tools so that that description can be true of each one of us. Character, several definitions here. It's a complex of mental and ethical traits marking and often individualizing a person, group, or nation. And these references, I didn't footnote them in your notes, but they're either from a modern Merriam-Webster online dictionary or from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And the modern dictionary was helpful in its right, but I appreciated some of the context that the old dictionary from 1828 would have given regarding some of these nuances. But Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be right and whether it be pure." Even a child is known by his doings. You know, ladies, if you've ever had opportunity to work in a nursery, you know there are some kids you're like, "Oh no, they're in my nursery today, oh no." Or, "Hey, I like that, you know, whatever, that little guy, he's three, he's four, we're going to have a good time." And even that child, you kind of get to know them. And even a child is known by his doings. Well, it doesn't stop when you leave nursery. It goes right with you through high school, or through middle school, and into high school, and into life. Character. It's that mark. Let's look at a couple of these other ideas. It's moral excellence or firmness. So taking character beyond just being a set of traits. But character is often referred to as being that which is a good thing. We need good character, but it can also be bad. Boy, he's quite a character. Generally, when you hear that phrase, it's not so much, "That's a great person." It's more like, "Oh, that's a joker," or "That's somebody who, you know, enjoys having fun." Maybe not always in a bad context, but, "Oh, he's quite a character." Well, character can be both good and bad. So understand that character as a category is a trait that marks you. Even a child is known by his doings. What are you known by? I know a handful of you. I don't know most of you, and you could probably pull the wool over my eyes. Y'all look pretty good this morning. Those in blue look the best. Sorry, but y'all are looking good this morning. And the reality is, as far as your appearance, you know, you can kind of pull it off. But the traits that are really you, your heart attitudes, your actions, the friends who you hang out with, they know who you really are. And that is what your character really at its core truly is, who you are when you're with others. Number three here in the definitions, it is a mark made by cutting or engraving as on stone, metal, or other hard material. And that's from the Webster's Dictionary, 1828. The idea, a character, is where if you had a cuneiform tablet, you know, some of the old obelisks that have been found in these things where you see this chicken scratch in the stone that's been hardened, the clay tablets. That's the idea of character. It's an impression. And there are going to be some principles that we're going to look at of character's development that stem from that idea. Character is a trait that is developed. Let's look at the rest of the definition there. It is characteristics which are formed. So when we consider character, it's something that is formed. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, where Joshua came before the children of Israel, he said, "You choose who you're going to serve." And he gives a list, either the gods of, and he lists out these things, or the true God, "But as for me and my house, I am going to serve the Lord." And he chose to mark his life by a character trait that followed God, because he realized that character is something that is formed. In 1 Kings chapter number 18, Elijah calls the people of Israel together. They're under the wicked king Ahab, and as he calls the people together in 1 Kings chapter number 18, he says to the people of Israel, "You can follow Baal, or you can follow God, but you can't follow both. How long are you going to halt or stop between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve him. If not, serve Baal." And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21, he calls them to stop halting between two opinions. If the Lord be God, serve him. If not, serve Baal. And then, through that miraculous intervention of fire being sent down from heaven, the prophet Elijah proved to the children of Israel that day that the God of heaven, Jehovah God, is the one true God, and he called the people of Israel, "Please follow him." But you see, there's a choice. 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And so the Apostle Paul understood that he was going to be forming his own character, that he could live a life that was selfish and self-focused and self-pleasing, or he could live a life that was going to please God. And though the Apostle Paul was used mightily to reach many people, he came to a point where he understood his ministry effectiveness would only go as far as his character reality. And he said, "I keep under my body." That means I tell my body who's boss. And rather than my body dictating to me what it wants to do, I tell my body, "No, I'm going to do this because it's right, because it's," and we'll talk about all of that here as we go on. But just realize this character is going to be formed. Just like somebody would take that clay tablet and etch in it and then dry it, and you have the cuneiform tablets with characters etched into it. So you are going to form the character that you become. Integrity coupled with character, the idea of holding firmly to a code of values. It's also, and I mentioned that I teach in the science department, the idea of being complete, undivided. If you're going to purchase someday, gentlemen, a gold ring for a young lady, you really don't want your gold ring to only be 5% gold. You want to shoot as much as you can for 24 karat, or that purity of gold, where it's 100% completely gold. And the integrity of an item, of a substance, is going to be the idea of, is it completely that? So integrity, while a lot of times we think about honesty, and those are some of the definitions here, honest and fair, integrity is also the idea of not being divided, not having multiple things where, you know, on one hand, I can put on a good face before my friends and people at church, but when I'm with my friends in the neighborhood or my coworkers, I put on a different face, I put on a different front. Integrity is being the true you all the time. The entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity, incorruptness, uprightness. 1 Kings 9:4, I referenced it there. I don't have that verse memorized, so I'm going to take a moment to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse number 4. This is a call to a young man to walk in integrity. God is communicating with Solomon, the son of David, at the outset, at the beginning of his reign. And God looks at him, or God, in speaking with Solomon, says, "If thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments." And then God goes on to give a promise. But the reason for grabbing that verse is simply this. God is calling Solomon to walk in integrity and to do what he knows he should do. Young people, if I can boil down character to this, it is knowing what is right and doing it. Whether it's a matter of getting up in the morning when your alarm clock goes off, I keep under my body, I'm going to tell my body, no, I'm going to do what I know I need to do, or refraining from association with certain friends that you know are going to hurt your testimony, hurt you, they're going to take you down the wrong path. Whatever it might be, it's doing what you know to be right over and over and over and over again. Let me give here an illustration of character. How many of you can name any of the justices of the United States Supreme Court? How many can you name?
Four or five.
Okay, go for it.
Breyer, Ginsburg, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Thomas.
Okay, all right. How many of you would at least have been able to have named one Brett Kavanaugh? I think everybody, right? And maybe you didn't know any of the other, that was good, you got quite a few of them there. Maybe you didn't know any of the other names, but I think everybody in here could have at least gotten one, right? Why? Well, and I'm not gonna weigh in on who's lying, who's not, that's a discussion for another day, but the fact is, when it was all boiled down, you had an argument of character versus an argument of accusation, this is what happened. Now, you weren't there the night of the alleged incident, neither was I. But the fact is, you have a man who has lived a life marked by character. Has he been perfect? Absolutely not. Have there been some points, and have they even brought out, well, there's some issues? Sure. But the reality is, and just the simple illustration of this is the fact that you have even played out on an international scene, and the world was watching. What's going on with this accusation, and how's America going to handle this? And maybe you were watching it as well. But when it was all boiled down, you had the reality of somebody who stood his ground in character, saying, this is who I am. And without the corroboration, all this other stuff, the accusation didn't stick. And again, if that is a true accusation, if that really happened, then that's terrible, but the reality is, I'm not really wanting to get into too much politically here, but the reality is, because of his integrity, because of his character, that there was no corroboration even in that, because that was not true to the character that man lived. So young people, if you were to come under accusation, or if you were to come under question, could people say, well, actually, no. I know this person, and I know the character that they demonstrate. Character's description here, let's work our way through the bottom of your handout. Character's description. Character, if we were to look at Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of this king of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. So Daniel, as a captive, and we're all familiar with the story of Daniel. Daniel was taken from his country, his nation, as a young man to a foreign country, a foreign nation, subjected to a lot of pain. I'm sure there was emotional pain. I'm sure there were some physical things that were painful. And as a young man, he was subjected to all of that. But as a prisoner, as a captive in a foreign nation, Daniel said, I am going to do right in this context. So young people, as Daniel demonstrates, character is learning what to stand for, character is learning to stand and for what to stand. Let me say that again. Character is learning to stand and for what to stand. And if we're going to be young people who are marked by character, we need to have a purpose and a resolve like Daniel, where we say, I have something that is worth standing for. I'm not going to sell out. And it's not just a matter of I'm going to beat my body up like the Apostle Paul. I keep under my body. I'm not going to do it just because I want to be a disciplined person. It's because we understand that we live for a bigger cause. That's what the degeneration, that's what the summit is all about. We live for a bigger cause, and because of a bigger purpose, we therefore live according to these guidelines. And we understand that there is something worth standing for, and so therefore we will stand for it. Daniel purposed in his heart. So we have to understand that there's a time to stand, and we need to know what it is for which we are standing. Number two, Joseph. You're familiar with his story, but Joseph, as he was subjected to great evil, his brothers sold him into slavery. I can't imagine the betrayal. I can't imagine all that took place. But somewhere between where the money changed hands from the Ishmaelite traders to his brothers, and he was a captive, to the point that he got into Egypt, somewhere on that journey, he allowed his heart to be made right. He said, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure what all of this is about, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do right in it. And Joseph, in the context of Egypt, a country that is anti-God, a country that had no real heart to nurture Joseph, he had nothing. Sold as a slave into a wicked man's home. And there in that context, he was lied about. There in that context, he was tempted. There in that context, he was faced with trials and temptations that I can't even begin to imagine. But Joseph, as a man of character, realized not only is there something to stand for, and then not only there's a time to stand, but he also knew there's a time to run. And so if you're going to be a person of character, not only do you need to find purpose and know I'm standing for this, but you need to understand that there is going to be a time to run. And so Joseph learned, character is learning to run, and from what to run. And from what to run. And so Joseph there, when he was tempted, you're familiar with the story, but as he was tempted with Potiphar's wife, rather than sticking around and trying to argue why he shouldn't do it, he said, I'm out of here, and immediately he hit the streets. He was gone, left his coat behind, he was framed, he was falsely accused, and went to prison for it. But he chose, I'm going to do right. So character there, not only standing, but running when necessary. Last description of character. Character is learning not only to stand, but when to stand, and for how long to stand. I love the story of Esther, and as you come to this young lady who, again, in a situation very difficult for her as a young lady, came to prominence in the palace, there came a point where she was in a position where she could act and save her people, or she could remain silent and allow them to be destroyed. And her uncle said, don't worry, God will find deliverance somewhere. If you're not the one, God will find someone else. But Esther, you have an opportunity to stand. And Esther came to a point where she said, all right, now is the time to stand. I'm going to stand right now in the face of what could be death. And you have this melodramatic, if I perish, I perish. But the reality is, that was a very real reality. She could have perished. We don't have time to describe all that the king that she was standing before could have done to her, but it would have been nothing for him to have removed her from life, and not only from being queen, but also from life. And she said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to do right. So she understood that there is a time to stand, and she was willing to stand all the way to death if necessary. So here we see these series of two young men and a young lady who in the Old Testament lived a life that was pleasing to the Lord, a life of standing. And young people, I trust that you will come to that place where you understand there is a time to stand, and you're willing to stand as long as it takes. And you're willing to stand right now. And if there's sin, if there's wrong, you're willing to run from it, even if it means you're going to be a little bit weird, but you're going to do right. Character, then, your definition there on the page, is the action of developing good habits that follow right thinking and godly choices at the exclusion of bad habits and wrong choices. Ecclesiastes 10:1, even a little bit of folly, as a single fly in your perfume would be a problem, and it would eventually, if left there, become a stinking odor. Even a little folly, one that is known for good character, just a little bit of wrong, a little bit of fun, a little bit of becomes a stinking saber. Character's mindset then, we're going to go through the rest of this pretty quickly. Character's mindset, we've seen it described, but character's mindset, it's a mindset of responsibility. Character understands that good character is not an automatic reality. Well, I was born into, or I have whatever, and therefore I can't change. No, not at all. It is not an automatic reality. You are responsible to become all that God wants you to be. And so when we have the mindset of character that God wants us to have, we are going to accept responsibility for where we are at. We are going to avoid blaming others for our issues and our needs. We're going to accept responsibility, and we're going to say, Lord, by your grace, I will become who you want me to be. I will nurture and develop the character that you want me to have. And so if you're meeting me this morning at a place where you say, you know, Mr. Forrester, my character has some deficiencies. There are some weaknesses that I have, and I could list them for you, this and this and this. Well, take responsibility for it. Don't blame shift. Don't make excuses. But realize you're there. Identify where you're at, and know that you can move forward from where you're at today. And today can be an absolute turning point in your life where you become that one that God wants you to be. And so nurture and develop what God wants you to be. And the next point really goes with that. Not only is character's mindset going to be marked by responsibility, but it's going to be marked also by growth. Being willing to move forward. Character is not an automatic reality. It's also not a fixed entity. So you're not going to be stuck. You can move from today into all that God wants you to be. So there needs to be a mindset of growth, a mindset of responsibility, a mindset of growth, and then a mindset of victory. Character is not defeated. You can move on. Character, and its description, its mindset, character does have some enemies. What are those enemies of character? Well, you know, Satan, we've already talked about him. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And yes, Satan wants to keep you from entering into all that God wants you to be. He would love for you to be walking upside down, as the title of our session talks about, and have a life that just fits the status quo of the worldly mindset. But I don't think any one of us are here because somebody made us come. I think each of your heart's desire is that your life would be pleasing and honoring to the Lord. That's why you're here, and you realize that Satan is going to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So watch out for him. He's going to try to assassinate your character. He's going to try to kill you. And when I say assassinate your character, not by bringing false accusations, per the Brett Kavanaugh description a few moments ago, but really, he wants to keep you in bondage. To accuse you, you can never do it. You failed three days in a row, or you failed. And honestly, the rubber of this challenge is going to meet the road next week. When you're back home, when you're back in your setting, when you've left the excitement of this summit, and when you're back in the context of, oh, now I've got to go to physics class, and I've got to do my math, and I've got to go to English, and all these other things, and the pressures of work and life, and it's all building up. That is where this is going to be proven. And Satan is going to come along and say, hey, you blew it yesterday. And that's when you need to say, wait a minute, no, maybe I did. But God's grace is sufficient to get it right and to move forward in victory for today. And you move forward in the victory of today. Not only do you have the enemy of Satan, but you also have the enemy of the world. Its pleasures, consider the prodigal son. The world is going to tempt you into saying, hey, you can have fun, but look at where the prodigal son ended up. That fun left him completely heartbroken, completely empty. Just as character and living a godly life has a mindset, so the world has a mindset. Maybe you've heard YOLO, you only live once, so therefore live it up. There's another song, maybe you're familiar with it, maybe not. Let It Go. The fact is, these are not just innocuous, nice little songs or nice little ideas. They come from Satan through his worldly system, trying to get you, when it's Let It Go, really, some of the nuances behind the lyrics of that song are talking about it's okay to be gay. And though that's not what they say in the song, some of the idea behind it, and there are little kids who listen to it, and it's all right. But the fact is, the world is going to say, hey, it's all right. And that's where they're so backwards. That's where it goes so contrary to what the Bible says. I saw recently on a billboard for a bar or a pub the idea that it may not be right, but it doesn't mean that you can't have fun. So they just put it right out there. It may not be right, but hey, you can come have fun, you know. And really, that mindset is going to be the enemy of character. And if you allow yourself to enter into that mindset, it will be your enemy. Not only do you have that, but you have the people. These could be friends, could be coworkers, could be others. But let me just help you out with this. If you say, wait a minute, don't touch my friends, come on. If Satan used Peter to come to Christ and to challenge Christ with wrong thinking, so much so that Christ had to look at Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. Christ wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he knew where that challenge was coming from. So if Peter could be used to influence Christ wrongly, your friends, wrong friends, could certainly be used in the same way. So understand that character is going to have enemies. Satan, the world, and lest we think that it's only outside of us, let's not forget that you could be your own enemy in the development of character. Character is going to have an enemy of laziness, defeat, discouragement. We've already talked about some of this. But the Apostle Paul really says it well for us. Oh, wretched man that I am. In Romans chapter 7, he realized, I can't do it. I want to. And if you look at Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says, there are some good things I want to do. I can do them. There are some bad things I don't want to do. I do them. Oh, wretched man that I am, is what he comes down to as his final conclusion. And maybe you're there. I want to, and I don't, and I can't. And then Paul comes in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body, and I do right, all the same. Character, then, has rewards. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 3, talks about how with character, it will guide us. Proverbs 19:1 talks about how character is better. Proverbs 20, verse 7 speaks of character or integrity bringing blessing. Proverbs 24, verses 30 and the few verses following. You might be familiar with the passage there in Proverbs where it talks about, I walked by the field of the slothful, one who has bad character, one who is marked by wrong character. And it was all run down, and what could have been beautiful and nice was destroyed and decayed. So let's make a commitment to be men and women who understand there are going to be blessings from character. The reference from Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 7, talks about your children being blessed. And you know, the choices that you make today as young people are going to reach to your children and beyond. So make good choices today that do please God and that go against the flow and that are going the right direction so that someday your children can look up to you and say, thank you so much for when you were a teenager. You made some right choices. Now, I know I'm speaking, you may not have gone to your mom and dad recently and said, thanks, mom and dad, for what you're doing. But you know, young people, you ought to. Thanks, mom and dad. You have hard choices to make, so do they. Thank them for what they're doing. And someday, your children will thank you for the choices that you make at this point. So get a vision that goes beyond today and your group of friends and just the pressure of this moment. Because in walking in your integrity, there is blessing that goes generationally. Lastly, character's choice. Would you turn with me to Psalm 26, verse number 11? Psalm 26, 11, we're going to close here. Character's choice. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. And it talks then the next verse about how his foot stands firm. Character's choice. You have a choice today. Are you going to walk in a path of developing good habits, right thinking, godly choices, that place of blessing? Or are you going to allow the joys, the delights, the enemies of character to keep you from the blessing that God wants? And this is not a matter of leaving this challenge here in a moment and saying, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. But realizing you can't, but God will. However, God uses you to do it. Do you realize that God's not going to pick you up by the scruff of your neck and get you out of bed? You have to be the one that hears the alarm clock and says, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do it. But you do it in dependence upon Him. So it's Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. 0, 100, total dependence. But the zero is the dependence. Lord, I can't do it, I need you. But God works through your body. God works through you. And maybe you're not familiar with the 0, 100. You've seen it around some, and that's really what the heartbeat of degeneration is all about. Total dependence upon him. But don't lose sight of the fact that you're the one that has to make the decisions. You're the one that has to do it. And the last little quote that you're going to find there on the page, character is not about learning a new trick, but doing an old truth. What is it that you need to do today? Character is about doing the right thing today. Saying no to yourself. Saying, Lord, help me. I need your help. I can't do it. Whatever it is for you, I can't do it. God, I need you. But by your grace, I will do it. Father, would you bless these young people? I pray that they would walk in character and that their lives would be marked by walking upright as Job, in contrast to an upside-down world. Lord, would you bless them? Would you take the truths that we've discussed here and challenge their hearts with it, I pray. And I ask these things in your name. Amen. I just realized as I was saying amen that I need to actually pray for lunch. You'll sit according to squads when you get down to the main building, but you're going to dismiss from here and go right to lunch. So let's pray for lunch. Father, would you bless the time at lunch? I pray that discussions and just the communication that takes place would be honoring and glorifying to you, and that you would bless in it. I pray these things in your name. Amen.